Keemat Lal. I met Inspector Keemat Lal about 2 years ago while I was living in the hot, dusty town of Shahpur in the plains of northern India. Keemat Lal had charge of the local police station. He was a heavily built man, slow and rather ponderous, and inclined to be lazy. But like most lazy people, he was intelligent. He was also a failure. He had remained an inspector for a number of years and had given up all hope of further promotion. His luck was against him, he said. He should never have been a policeman. He had been born under the sign of Capricorn and should really have gone into the restaurant business, but now it was too late to do anything about it. The inspector and I had little in common. He was nearing 40 and I was 25. But both of us spoke English, and in Shahpur there were very few people who did. In addition, we were both fond of beer. There were no places of entertainment in Shahpur. The searing heat, the dust that came whirling up from the east, the mosquitoes, almost as numerous as the flies, and the general monotony gave one a thirst for something more substantial than stale lemonade. My house was on the outskirts of the town, where we were not often disturbed. On two or three evenings in the week, just as the sun was going down and making it possible for one to emerge from the cusp-cooled confines of a dark, high-ceilinged bedroom, Inspector Keemat Lal would appear on the veranda steps, mopping the sweat from his face with a small towel, which he used instead of a handkerchief. My only servant, excited at the prospect of serving an inspector of police, would hurry out with glasses, a bucket of ice and several bottles of the best Indian beer. One evening, after we had overtaken our fourth bottle, I said, "You must have had some interesting cases in your career, Inspector." "Most of them were rather dull," he said. "At least the successful ones were. The sensational cases usually went unsolved. Otherwise, I might have been a superintendent by now." "I suppose you are talking of murder cases. Do you remember the shooting of the Minister of the Interior? I was on that one, but it was a political murder and we never solved it." "Tell me about a case you solved," I said. "An interesting one." When I saw him looking uncomfortable, I added, "You don't have to worry, Inspector. I'm a very discreet person, in spite of all the beer I consume." "But how can you be discreet? You're a writer." I protested. "Writers are usually very discreet. They always change the names of people and places." He gave me one of his rare smiles. "And how would you describe me if you were to put me into a story?" "Oh, I'd leave you as you are. No one would believe in you anyway." He laughed indulgently and poured out more beer. "I suppose I can change names too. I will tell you of a very interesting case. The victim was an unusual person, and so was the killer. But you must promise not to write this story." "I promise," I lied. "Do you know Panauli in the hills?" "Yes. I've been there once or twice." "Good. Then you will follow me without my having to be too descriptive." This happened about 3 years ago, shortly after I had been stationed at Panauli. Nothing much ever happened there. There were a few cases of theft and cheating and an occasional fight during the summer. A murder took place about once every 10 years. It was therefore quite an event when the Rani of was found dead in her sitting room, her head split open with an axe. I knew that I would have to solve the case if I wanted to stay in Panauli. The trouble was, anyone could have killed the Rani, and there were some who made no secret of their satisfaction that she was dead. She had been an unpopular woman. Her husband was dead, her children were scattered, and her money, for she had never been a very wealthy Rani, had been dwindling away. She lived alone in an old house on the outskirts of the town, ruling the locality with the stern authority of a matriarch. She had a servant, and he was the man who found the body and came to the police, dithering and tongue-tied.